You're listening to Sunday Brunch on ABC Radio Canberra.
Well, pulsing headaches, excruciating abdominal pain and intensely heavy periods, they're all among some of the symptoms of a chronic illness called endometriosis or endo. It affects 1 in 9 Australian girls and women, but this is still often endured in secret. There's still no known cause and no known cure. And Canberra mother Amanda Emerton and her husband Julian Abbott spoke about this as part of a podcast called Living with Endo, Life as Endo Parents. The host of that podcast, Ellie Angel Mobbs. Here's a bit more of Julian speaking about being an endo parent.
As the only male in the house, and that's humans and dogs, you need to know when to speak and not when to speak, which is a good thing for a dad sometimes. And, you know, there's conversations that they have that I'm not party to and things like that. But I do come home every day from work in the morning and, you know, I do go and see Elizabeth and she'll be asleep a lot of the time, but I'll just say, hi, I'm home and things like that. Before I go to bed in the evening, I'll go and say, hi, and I'm going to bed now. She's having a bad day. You know, we had a text conversation at 5:20 this morning, which was great. I think, you know, I'm very, very lucky in that Amanda's such a wonderful mother to both our daughters. She doesn't work, so she's available to do all the heavy lifting, and she's done a lot of the heavy lifting. As a father, all you can do is, I think, and it's a bit like your dad, is support and go to the endo events and do other things for them and help them out and, you know, get things for them. And, you know, I'll be honest and say that I find it really hard to deal with sometimes. But it took me at first a while to get used to it. And I think there's still some aspects of it that I still struggle with, but I know that she's in pain. I know that she's not well. I know that, you know, she's got a very small circle of friends because of it. And that is what I find heartbreaking. So all I can let her know is that, you know, we do love her and we do help her.
Julian Abbott, who you know, of course, as our ABC Canberra radio news host weekdays, speaking there about being a parent of two girls with endometriosis or endo. And Julian's wife, Amanda Emerton, joins us now. Yuma, and welcome to you, Amanda. Thanks so much for making time.
Thanks, Adi. Thanks very much for having me. If I can say one thing about that grab from Julian, I love the way he said she doesn't work. He seems to forget that actually I worked up until very, very recently.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely. Now, there are so many myths, Amanda, aren't there, about endo. Firstly, can you set the scene for us? What is endometriosis?
Okay, well, endo is a disease that endometrium cells actually that are similar to the cells that form in the lining of the uterus form in other parts of the body. So they're somehow released, or this is all part of what people are trying to find out through research, is why are these endometrium cells appearing in other parts of people's bodies. They could be anywhere. They can turn up in nasal passages, very rarely in the brain, sometimes in the lungs, the diaphragm, always like outside of the actual uterus. So one of the things that one of the myths, and it's sometimes perpetuated by the medical profession actually, is to say, oh, have a hysterectomy. Have you thought about hysterectomy? Well, hysterectomy does not cure endometriosis, because you can have a perfectly healthy uterus but still have endometriosis in other parts of your body. So it's an insidious disease. It does respond to sort of hormones, and what it does is you end up with adhesions and things like that forming where the cells have actually tried to shed and the rest of the body's gone, what is this? I don't understand what this is, and therefore it tries to defend itself. So the body ends up being, you know, it can be a real mess. And pain is, as Julian mentioned, there's various stages of endometriosis, from stage 1 to stage 4. Somebody with stage 2 endometriosis or even stage 1 can have incredible pain, whereas somebody with stage 4 may not have as much pain but might have a lot of endometriosis in their bodies. So it's a mysterious and dreadful disease, and as you said, it affects, you know, one in nine. You know, that's frightening. You know, when you look around a room and see, you know, a ten women in a room, you know, or nine women in a room, and at least one of them's got endometriosis of impacting them in some way.
This often invisible pain that's been likened to hot coals inside your abdomen.
Yes, absolutely. Other descriptions, I know Elizabeth says to me at times, you know, it feels like somebody's grabbed hold of my ovaries and they're twisting and pulling. You know, the other thing is sharp, you know, really sharp pains as well. And, you know, they get pain, like the pain is in their back, in their legs, in, you know, it's not just isolated necessarily to the abdomen. And it also comes with a whole lot of, the disease comes with a whole lot of comorbidities as well. There's a lot of women, or I should say people, because, you know, there are non-binary and transgender people that don't identify as women, but who do have endometriosis. And they, you know, they at times, they are in, you know, severe pain. Sorry, I lost my train of thought a bit, but the pain is absolutely crippling for these people, and you know, trying to maintain any kind of life when you're living day to day with this kind of pain is incredibly difficult.
Amanda Emerton is with us. She's speaking about being the parent of two daughters with endometriosis on ABC Radio Canberra. It's 20 minutes past 11. Amanda, what can you share with us about how your two daughters, Elizabeth and Sarah, discovered they both had this chronic illness and what have been among their greatest struggles?
Elizabeth kind of self-diagnosed, actually. From about 14, about the time she started to get a period, she started having, you know, intense pain. And we went through the whole process of, you know, GPs, and GP would say, okay, go off and have an ultrasound or whatever, which, bear in mind, at the age of 14, a pelvic ultrasound is a pretty threatening thing for a young girl. So she actually started researching herself, as the medical profession was saying, oh, it could have been a burst cyst, or, oh, yes, it's just your period. And, of course, people play it down because it's like, oh, well, all women have periods. You know, period pain's normal. It's, you know, intense pain every time you have your period is not normal and needs to be medically investigated. And this is where, as a parent, you end up having to push, because at the age, you know, when some of these girls are actually going through this, they're very, very young, and it's very easy just to get fobbed off. So you have to be fairly tenacious. But Elizabeth actually, I think she saw an episode of Embarrassing Bodies where they brought up endometriosis, and she researched it, and she said, Mum, I want to see a gynecologist. I'm sure that's what I've got. And it rolled from there. We did see a gynecologist here in Canberra who was lovely, and she was very good. And she said, I'm out of my depth with this. If I go in and find it and it's attached to other parts of your body, I'm going to refer you to Sydney. And that's what happened with Elizabeth. So that was the start of her journey. And subsequently, she's had four procedures that all they do is, there's no cure. So, you know, actually having a laparoscopy is not a fix. It's mainly done out of desperation, actually. Women find themselves having laparoscopies because they just can't live anymore the way they're living and think something's got to help. But in fact, it can actually be worse. As far as Sarah's journey, it was much later. She's sort of, you know, she was about 20, I think, when she started encountering, you know, pain issues and problems. And of course, because we were fully aware of it, you know, we obviously, you know, she went to Elizabeth's specialist and they found, they did find endometriosis. So she's managing much better than Elizabeth, but we've learned a lot in the time that, you know, from the 14 to 28, you know, we've been through so many specialists and, you know, a lot of holistic stuff as well, things like acupuncture and naturopaths and tried diets and, you know, just about anything that, you know, we could to try and help, and that has helped Sarah, I have to say, because she's gone into it, you know, we're much more informed, I guess.
So Amanda, how significant is this issue of not being believed, your daughters, potentially having dismissive treatment by the health services, and also just ignorance in health settings?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's frighteningly high. You know, we have, you know, this is my why I say it's so important. Like, these women are very, very unwell when they present at hospitals. Like, they don't go to hospitals for the fun of it, you know, for emergency departments and things like that. But it's an invisible pain. But when you actually look at somebody in severe pain, they're grey. They look terrible. They're clearly in pain. But pain's not going to kill them. So they end up being triaged to the bottom of, you know, the pile. And so, you know, they sit in emergency departments for hours and hours and hours. They, because they can't be monitored in emergency, in the reception areas of emergency, they won't give you a lot of pain relief. So they end up sitting there literally for hours. We've gone home on occasions because she just can't sit there. She just can't be there any longer with no further treatment. But then, you know, even when you do, you know, crack it and finally get, you know, behind the doors at ED, some of the experiences have been absolutely terrifying. You know, just the complete lack of ignorance, totally dismissive. Like, they just want to turn you around. You know, they just want to look. Their view in ED is basically get you in for emergency care and get you out. Well, I understand that, but sometimes, like, these women need pain relief. They need to be. To time to actually have some decent pain relief, and they need empathy, and they need somebody who's sensible and comes in and says, how best can we manage this for you? Like, these people know their pain better than anybody else. You know, Elizabeth knows and I know exactly what needs to be done, but you get it, like, honestly, the why don't you have a baby? That's another great myth. You know, have a baby, and, you know, that'll help your endometriosis. I'm serious. I've had doctors say to Elizabeth, why don't you have a baby? Now, it's complete nonsense. Like, women have baby, women with endometriosis, if you can have a baby, because of course fertility issues you know, often go with endometriosis as well. So that's also an incredibly insensitive thing to say to somebody who potentially has fertility issues. But then to say have a baby, which, you know, then you end up with a baby and endometriosis. Yeah, well, that's great.
Amanda, thinking longer term with your two daughters who have this chronic illness, endometriosis, when their pain isn't acknowledged, when they don't receive compassionate and informed care, what are the longer term consequences, not just physically, but also mentally?
Oh, absolutely. It's devastating. It's crushing. You know, and look, anybody with a chronic illness, and an invisible chronic illness, so not, you know, great tumours on the outside of your body, invisible illnesses, I'm sure all have similar experiences to this, that you're not validated in any way. Like, you can tell people that will say to her, oh, well, but you don't look sick. You know, you look all right. But it's crushing, absolutely crushing. And so from a mental health perspective, they lose confidence. They become frightened about, you know, that Elizabeth and Sarah both, and, you know, they're absolutely not alone, do not want to present at ED or, you know, anywhere, because they're frightened of the response that they're going to get there. They're mentally traumatised. And, you know, that's a whole, like, mental health is, you know, that is definitely one of the big things that goes with this disease. You cannot, depression, anxiety, you know, because often, you know, they're not believed. In the workplace, you know, okay, it's annoying for an employer to have an employee that isn't reliable, but they can't help it. They can't predict whether or not they're going to be well today, well tomorrow, or, you know, what time. So these women run out of sick leave all the time. They end up on unpaid leave. They're overlooked for promotions because they're, you know, oh, they probably won't be around to do the job. So, you know, the consequences of all these sorts of things are devastating for young women. You know, young women with fantastic, you know, they're bright and they're, you know, really can contribute well to workplaces and society and things. And they're fobbed off because they're too hard, you know. And, oh, yes, it's probably in your head anyway, so you're a bit of a nut job. Well, you know, it's not okay. And look, things are progressing. And that's why things like this podcast and, you know, us talking about it today and Endometriosis Australia and the other bodies. And I have to say, you know, actually, you know, Greg Hunt, give him some credit. You know, he did get behind the National Action Plan, which is, you know, again, around, you know, there's research, there's some research money that's gone. out to try and find out what this disease actually, you know, where it's coming from, you know, and raising awareness and things like that. So it has been spoken about a lot more in the last couple of years. Gay Brotman was very good, our member, former member for Canberra. She was very good at raising the profile of endometriosis. And, you know, we have to keep talking about it because it's something that, you know, one in nine women, you know, it needs to be an accepted, you know, condition in our society, and women need to be supported. You know, the cost, I can't tell you the cost of medications. You know, one major drug that, that women with endometriosis take, you'll try to take every month, is nearly $90 a month. Will you try doing that when you're on, you know, Centrelink payments? You know, that it's just unacceptable.
Amanda Emerton is with us. She's speaking about being the parent of two daughters with endometriosis, caring for them, being their advocate. And you've touched on workplace discrimination, Amanda. One of your daughters mm-hmm. had a really unpleasant experience with the tax mm-hmm. office. Tell us about
it. Yes. Yeah, she was accepted into the graduate program, which in itself is a real feather in a cap because it's very competitive. So she got in as a design grad. But within, you know, the first couple of, she had surgery a few months before she started the position, you know, and had a few months off, so had rested and so on and so forth. But she started in the February and she just went downhill. You know, she just physically couldn't do the Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, like it wore her down, and her endometriosis at that stage was very, very poor. Now, every time she didn't go to work, she had a medical certificate to support the fact that she was sick. She had a letter from her specialist saying, you know, appreciate, look, she has this condition. She has, you know, she from time to time experiences intense pain. You know, so your understanding would be appreciated and so on. Anyway, over a period of a few months, she started getting called in for informal chats. And now she was a bit naive. She actually should have taken people, you know, support person in. But at the time, it was really her first sort of serious job. And look, it just after a while, they just decided it was all too hard. And she was actually off sick. She'd been in hospital. She'd been told to take a few weeks off. She'd submitted a medical certificate. And then she got a phone call from one of her managers to say, you're going to be receiving a letter in the mail saying that you're about to be terminated. And she was just devastated, absolutely beside herself that she was being fired from the public service. Anyway, it was a long and hard-fought battle with the help of you know, a very good friend of ours who knows a lot about the HR system and things. It was clearly discriminatory. It was done very badly. And this is where Julian and I were able to advocate for her. Now, not everybody's lucky enough to have people in that position, but we have the resources and friends and things to be able to advocate for her. So in the end, they ended up saying to her, yeah, sorry, we shouldn't have actually done that. If you want to do the grad program again next year, we'll put you through it next year. Well, they had done so much damage to her that there is no way she could have ever stepped foot across that front door. And frankly, she hasn't worked since because she has PTSD. You know, she is terrified of encountering, you know, or getting, you know, you couldn't give her any kind of negative feedback in a workplace environment because she would just be devastated. She has no self-confidence. And that's what they did to her. And she was doing really well in the grad program when she was there. She ticked all the boxes, you know, for all the things that she was doing, and she still lost her job. So,
Amanda, what are the most important points then of this national action plan to address this problem in our community, this chronic illness, endometriosis, the bits that you would most like to see acted on?
Okay, well, clearly money for research. Like, there needs to be the money that's already been assigned to research is great, but it's a drop in the ocean. And in comparison to a lot of other diseases, it's absolutely minuscule. So absolutely research. Education, the education, and this is the National Action Plan is about this as well. South Australia has started a campaign in schools, educating young women in schools or, you know, teenagers about what is a normal period and what's not and when to get help and, you know, so that they don't just get fobbed off. So education at, you know, school level, but also education in our community, you know, raising the awareness of, and, you know, accepting the fact that this is a disability. You know, that this is not just, you know, a flu with, you know, a cough cold type thing. These people have a disability, a chronic illness, and they need to be, our workplaces and, you know, our day-to-day, we need to accept that these people cannot always function the way that they would like to, you know, that it's just it's completely out of their control. So acceptance in the community, and that really does go down, like giving women the opportunity to be able to progress, to you know, to get, you know, fulfill their dreams rather than being fobbed off as, oh no, it's too hard, or you're a bit crazy, or, you know, it's just dreadful. And the women that are out there that have no work and that are trying to live off, you know, Centrelink payments, Centrelink is an absolute nightmare to deal with. I could talk on that subject for hours, and actually accepting the bureaucracy, accepting that this is a chronic illness and that women can't just front up for job interviews and then hold down jobs. You know, all those sorts of things. We just need to keep talking about it. We need to know that this disease is in our community. It's high. It's prevalent, and these women need to be supported. They need to be cared for. There needs to be empathy. We need advocates. We need people to. I would love to see like an employment agency set up for women where they could do some job sharing, or, you know, some temping that they could share. You know, things like that, opportunities for people who can't work 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. You know, because there's a lot of women out there with a lot of potential, but they just, you know, they need to be able to work from home. They need to, you know, some days work from your bed, and they need sometimes not to work at all.
Amanda, thank you so much for being with us and sharing just some of those experiences, being an advocate, an ally for young women with endometriosis endo. And we wish you the very best of luck and your daughters you continue to advocate for better care and treatment and opportunities for young women and girls with endometriosis.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's great to be able to be able to share the information. So I hope it gets out there and helps a few more people.
Thanks, Amanda. Amanda Emerton, mother of two daughters with endometriosis. And if you'd like to listen in more detail, you can find that podcast, which is where I first heard Amanda and Julian Abbott, my colleagues, speaking about parenting their daughters in great detail in a podcast called Living with Endo, Life as Endo Parents, a podcast that is hosted by another Canberran, Ellie Angel Mobbs. It's definitely worth a listen if you'd like to know more.
You're listening to Sunday Brunch on ABC Radio Canberra.